Come before you right now. We thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we feel extremely blessed by you and providing. And Lord, we just ask that that our conversation, that our lives, that Father, just our attitudes, all these things would glorify you. We recognize that our life is an act of worship. And so, Father, we want to walk, we want to live, we want to behave in a way that does not gratify our own desires and our own sinful nature, but, Father, one that gratifies you and satisfies you. And so, Father, we just come before you, ask that you would lead us and guide us, that, Father, you've given us an extreme privilege of being here. And so, Lord, we just give it back to you and ask that you would do incredible things. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in Rose Park, which is kind of cool because we are in the center of the city. And what's really kind of cool about that is, I don't know if you guys know this, but the nickname of Missoula is actually the Garden City, right? So here we are. We are in Rose Park. If you think about it, what's the best part of a garden? The crown jewel of the garden is usually the roses or somebody's tomatoes. I don't know. But, you know, it's usually the roses. And so here we are. We are in the center of Missoula in the middle of the Garden City. And as you think about that, this is kind of cool, too, if you think about it. We're only a block or two away from Hell's Gate. There's so much there that it's like, man, you know. But to me, this is what's kind of cool, is if you think about God not only placed us here, because when we first got together over a year and a half ago and started going, okay, where are we supposed to be? What is the neighborhood we're supposed to be looking at? We looked at all sorts of ones. We kind of settled that, you know, maybe we're supposed to be out at Orchard Homes and out in that direction, and some things opened up, and then they closed down, and they kind of drug on, and it was kind of this ordeal that we went through. And as God began to really kind of open up doors and the folks that were coming in, more and more we began to realize that maybe we should be more central and more in, you know, closer to the university. And so then God opened up the doors for us to be able to do this, and which is, to me, is really cool. But there's something about being in the Garden City and then also thinking about being in Missoula. So when we first started out at Outdoorsman Church way out in Frenchtown, when we first came here, everybody in Frenchtown, I don't know if you guys know this, but everybody in Frenchtown hates Missoula. Yeah. It's like Missoula exists in order for me to go there and work, but I do not want to live there, and they despise Missoula. If you ever talk about, you know, Missoula, they're like, ah, oh, you know, that's Missoula, you know. Probably the best joke that ever came out of it is like, oh yeah, I like Missoula. It's only 5 minutes from Montana. Yeah. So there's this constant behavior about Missoula and how, you know, it's just not quite Montana. It's the most liberal city in Montana. It's, you know, all these kind of things. And I'll be honest, after a while, it starts to wear on you a little bit. It wasn't until my kids actually, you know, started coming to the university and me and Sasha were like, hey, you know, Hannah and Naomi and Rebecca are having fun. Maybe we should go down and have fun with them. And so, you know, we started coming down and started, you know, going to the Big Dipper and started, you know, hanging out and realized, wow, Missoula has a lot to offer. And then you start walking around like the farmer's market. I remember walking around the farmer's market with an older gentleman from Frenchtown. That's all I need to say. And we were walking around, and as we were walking around, he was just getting so frustrated because there was so much New Age, hyper-spiritualism, kind of, you know, greeny attitude that was coming out. And it was just really just irritating him. And it was like, okay, you got to stop a moment and go, you really need to look at these people because they don't know God, but yet they're desiring things that God wants for them. They're desiring good things. They're desiring equality. They're desiring the fact that they want to take care of the environment. That's not an evil thing to take care of the environment, to steward the environment. You know what I mean? If it becomes one of these things where that's our mother, well, yes, we've turned that into a religion, and that's not right. But we are supposed to take care of what God has given us. We are supposed to be stewards. And so there's little bits and pieces throughout Missoula that sometimes I think as believers in Christ, it's like, well, that's contrary to my core beliefs. And so we can't see where God is actually writing his story in their life. And what hit me when we went to, I might have shared this to you guys before, but what hit me when we went to Frankfurt and we were walking around with one of the guys, and he was a Presbyterian pastor and highly educated. He used to be one of those guys that wears, you know, like the cardigan and smokes the pipe type, you know, philosopher type deal. And so as we were walking around, he was just talking about the love of his city and how awesome his city was and how this city is just, you know, so diverse and so many cultures and so many things, and how he would walk around this block and he goes, you see this building here, this architect, da 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 da, and he'd go on about, and then it survived the war, and he just knew his city and he loved his city. And at one place he comes up to this courtyard. And in this courtyard, it was really cool courtyard. It's like stepping back into a, you know, old World War II, you know, scene where, you know, that little French courtyard type thing that's going on. And so it's this beautiful little courtyard. And we step into this courtyard and he points up at this poem that's subscribed up on the wall up above. And he looks at it and he kind of translates it to us. And what's interesting, the translation was really kind of rough because it doesn't really come across as poetry to us, you know, changing the words around. But basically the meaning of the poem was, hey, if you don't like our city, there's another one down the street. And so it was kind of like, you know, if you don't like it, get out of here. We don't need you. And it was interesting because he talked about that, and he talked about the reality of how we can either be in a place and curse it, or we can be in a place and bless it. And that kind of hit me because I realized how often we curse Missoula. We don't bless it. We actually think negative about it. We actually get frustrated with some of the liberal views. We actually get frustrated with some of the things that maybe don't line up with the way that we were brought up. And so it, sometimes there's a hard jump culturally to be able to grasp where they're coming from. And so out of the frustration, sometimes I think out of fear, sometimes out of own piety, if you will, our own self-righteousness, sometimes I think we actually curse Missoula instead of bless it. I want to read you these verses here in Jeremiah 29. So this is Israelites have been taken into captivity into Babylon. They've lost Jerusalem. They are going through some major, major hardships. And Jeremiah writes this as a prophet. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carry into exile. Now think about that. Usually when bad things happen to us, we're like, oh, this is, you know, and we get mad and we get frustrated. But this was actually the hand of God. This was actually God stepping in going, hey, listen, if you're not going to follow my ways, I told you this was coming. So he's carrying out a discipline, which he was slow in doing. But when he carries it out, he also carries it with a different type of blessing. Because as you read this, what happened in their exile is actually something, too, that I believe brings the gospel all the way to Babylon. He says, to all those I carry into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what you produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters into marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city in which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. What a concept. You are ripped out of your hometown. You're ripped out of a place that you have a ton of pride about. Are carried away to a foreign land. You are exile. You have nothing now. And you're said, here's your area. And you go out and you scratch a living off of it. And God tells them, hey, listen. Don't have an attitude where you decrease but increase. Don't have an attitude that, well, I'm just, this is a bad situation. I'm just going to, you know what I mean? Instead, it's like, embrace it. Plant gardens, produce, marry, live, have a life. And in the midst of having a life, pray for the town. Pray for the place that you're at. If you think about it, it's all in our attitude. See, the way that we think and the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we process other people, it affects us. Our attitude, whether it's negative or whether it's positive, affects our behavior. When we have a negative attitude about our city and it's like, oh, they're, you know, they're liberals and all of it, to be honest, then we don't engage in anybody because we're frustrated with them. And we've already judged them. Some people get so frustrated because it's like, well, Christians are so judgmental. We should not be judgmental. Christ is the judge. And it's interesting because Christ came and said, I didn't come to judge. Because the reality is you're already condemned. I came to save. See, sometimes we feel like we have to keep putting that judgment out there. And the truth is we don't. The truth is we need to give them the answer. And we can't give them the answers until we've been able to settle in our own heart that the only difference between us and them is we came to a place of understanding what the grace has been given to us. And so being able to come to a place where we can begin to bless our city, to be able to love Missoula, that's what I want this church to be about. I want us to be a place where we can look at Missoula and we love Missoula. With all its weirdness, with all its quirks. Matter of fact, I love weirdness and quirks. You know? It's like, see, John over here. If not, I wouldn't love John. No. But you think about, don't we all have our rough edges? Don't we all have our little things that are a little different? Isn't inside of each and every one of us there's something that we kind of want to be unique? And yet then we're going to turn around and judge others that are finding that in a way that, yeah, it may not be glorifying to God, but they are seeking something inside them that maybe God has placed in them that they would look for him and perhaps find him. If we could change our attitude, I think in all honesty, that's where it starts. To begin to bless our city, to begin to think about our city. Now, I'm going to jump out of order here, Josiah, but Josiah's awesome, and he's got this whole thing figured out. So earlier when we did communion, it's also, as you guys know, we do our kingdom focus for the month during that time period, and I really wanted to do communion, so I wanted to focus in on that. But I'm going to bring up something. This is our kingdom focus. So on November, usually we do kingdom focus, and we do it for the homeless, the hungry, all that kind of stuff. I was upstairs, we were putting up the signs earlier, and upstairs the VA is up there, they have a box up there that is a food donation box for vets. And so they for Thanksgiving and that, they're doing a little food drive. Here's my challenge, guys. This is our kingdom focus. We want to help the vets, we want to help the hungry anyways. What if we just bless the socks off the VA up there and overload that box? Here in this next week or two, guys, let's bring in our canned goods. Let's go get stuff. Let's put so much stuff up there and fulfill a need that they're putting out that they can look downstairs and go, oh, our new renters downstairs, they're here to bless us, not to curse us. Wouldn't that be awesome? That's a simple way. They put something on. And see, I think only those kind of things happen when we actually start changing our attitude and open up our eyes to going, where's a need that I can fulfill? Because I would have never known other than walking by and seeing their box and going, oh, we can do that. we could fill that box really easily and bless them. So there it is. I was out of order. So thank you for popping that up. See, I knew, Josiah, you have this. Everything has kinks today except for Josiah. He's got this one down. So I want to challenge you as we think about this whole idea of reclaiming the garden, right? We got kicked out of the garden because of sin. And coming back to a place of going, man, God has put us in the middle of the garden in Rose Park. This is the beginning. This is our Jerusalem. This is where we're going to start. And we're going to start looking around. And I want to challenge you guys as we go through this series. The idea is over this next couple of weeks, we're going to start prayer walking. We're going to start knowing our community. We're going to start looking for the places that we can step in and bless Rose Park, Missoula, the Garden City. We're going to reclaim the garden. Amen? All right. So let's go on here. First of all, we got to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul writes this, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Now, I know most of you pretty darn well. There's a few of you that are kind of new that I'm getting to know. And it's interesting to me how folks can go, yeah, I'm a believer in Christ, and yet have never actually come to a place where they've surrendered to God. So even though I know most of you and I believe that you're saved, I say this because I have a friend. We actually just, what was it, last month, we went up and worked at Superior with Alan Damron. He's the pastor up there. He's a great guy. If you ever need to laugh, just go hang out with Alan Damron. He will cut up so many jokes within the first 2 minutes that you're like, oh my gosh, how's this, anybody take this guy seriously? So he's awesome. Alan's story is crazy. He grew up in the church, and he was part of the church and doing all sorts of things, so much so that when he got out of high school, he became the youth pastor, and he did youth ministry for years. Then a traveling evangelist came in, and he got saved. He actually realized he had never gotten to a point where he had surrendered his life to Christ and accept what Jesus Christ had done for him on the cross. So he got saved and he went to his pastors and elders and say, we got a problem. I realize I haven't accepted Christ and I want to accept Christ and I want to be saved but I'm also your youth pastor, so I don't know how we're going to handle this. So, Alan's story is crazy. You know, I'm not going to tell the rest of it. I'll let him tell that to you guys eventually. But I say this because sometimes some of us can sit there and we can fool ourselves for a long time that we're not truly believers. We may have a head knowledge. We may know all the details. But until we come to a place where it's like, He is my Lord and Savior. He's died for my sins. To be able to truly surrender ourselves to Him. Because it's one thing to know. Even the scriptures talk about the demons know and shudder. But the demons are not saved. So it's more than knowledge. It's the acceptance and allowing Him to become your true Lord and Savior. That He has died for our sins. That He rose again. That we have a hope that we will rise once with Him too. When we surrender our lives to Him. So examine yourselves. Be able to start there. Be able to realize that without Christ in us, trying to reclaim Missoula isn't going to work. You can't give away something you don't have. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power. Now think about this as you think about yourself and your walk with Christ. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, we have given us His very great and precious promise so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, that's an active pursuit, possess them in an increasing measure. If you possess them in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever does not have these is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. His divine nature. This is really kind of crazy. It talks about his divine nature, but then he's given it to us that we can participate in that same divine power. That's the Holy Spirit living in us. See, if we look at these attributes and go, okay, I have to increase in these things, and so I'm gonna focus in and I'm gonna do these certain things and make them happen in my life. Well, it's kind of legalism. You can get to a place where it's like you get down on yourself and it's like, oh man, I was all excited about this and then I fell, or I stepped into a familiar temptation, and who am I, and I'm no good, and how can God use me, and it can get suck you in because you're working so hard at all these things and you get frustrated about your life. But see, it starts off with the key right at the very beginning, that he's given us his divine nature, the divine power, in order for us to step into these things. And it's the active reach. So it's that place of where we think about, and here's an active reach, like we were talking about Missoula, from cursing it to blessing it. To being able to go from, instead of me thinking evil about Missoula, being able to go, how do I love Missoula? To be able to go from, you know, oh, this part frustrates me. I walk downtown and there's homeless everywhere, and to a place of going, okay, God, these are people that are in need. How do I help them? How do I help the businesses deal with this? Because they're suffering too, and they're struggling in the midst of it. And so how do we bring change to our community in a positive way? Instead of just saying this is the problem or this is the problem and backing away from it. So that's an active reach because it's how we think. And I believe that that's part of this too, is if he's given us the divine nature, if we have this divine power inside of us, we have the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that sanctifies us and changes us. I was never able to do it on my own. If I was able to do it on my own, then I probably didn't need salvation. I mean, the reality is I'm not. It's only through God and his power that he changes me. And if there's anything good in me, it's not because I've mustered it up. It's because Sasha has. No, the reality is it's because the Holy Spirit's worked in me. It's the goodness of, it's my destiny, as Romans talks about. I love those verses. It talks about that's my destiny, is to become like his son. Man, this last week, we had Bible study on Wednesday night. And I have to tell you, that verse is still hitting me. I still been thinking about it every day, where it talks about Christ is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. What a cool verse. I mess up. I stumble. I am weak. You guys saw it yesterday. I think it was about 1:30 when I thought I was going to be done 2 hours earlier. And I was like, ugh. Everything I'm trying to do, I can't do it. And everything's just wrong. And it's the realization that we're hoarders is terrible. So much stuff. He is not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed of me. See, it's not my power. It's not my ability. He's given me his divine nature. He's given me this Holy Spirit, the divine power. And so the act of reach is for me to go, no. How do I live more in love? How do I live more in goodness? How do I expand my knowledge? It's transforming the mind and how we think and process. That when we desire things, those are the things that we do. When we think positive things, that's the way we act, is in positive behavior. See, it's crazy. That's the act of reach is actually here, and how we process. And I believe that that's what he's telling us in the midst of this. Because if you look at the very end of these verses, verse 9, it says, "But whoever does not have these is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from the past." That's all. That's a mindset. They've forgotten what God has done for them. And they're nearsighted because they're not desiring those things, and so they're still wallowing in the things of the world. Instead of changing it around, going, wait a minute. God has already done this. I am already saved. I am taken. I am His. He is not ashamed of me. Even when I fall down, it's okay. But I want goodness in my life. I want knowledge in my life. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to be unproductive in my Christian walk. I mean, when it's all said and done, and I'm in a wooden box, and people get up and talk about, oh, this is who Mark was. I really hope that the impact that is left behind is that I was not unproductive in my Christian walk. I am not worried about that when I get to heaven. Because I already know he is not ashamed. I already know he is longing for me to return. And so it's here, to be honest, that I want to be able to live the life that I can live. Not in a sense of leaving a legacy. I don't care if anybody remembers me. I want him to be more famous than me. But at the same time, those that know me, I want them to love me the most. Because they look at me and go, no, I see Christ in you. And I behave as I should as a Christian. These are the things that we need to examine in ourselves. Because if we're going to reclaim the garden, it starts with us. It starts right here. It starts with the right attitude. It starts with a mindset of going, okay, how do we live in such a way that others would be attracted to the faith? How do we live in such a way that when we share the gospel, I'm not going, well, let me tell you about something that I think happens. Let me tell you about something that should change your life, even though I haven't changed it yet. It should be something that comes out of us because it's true and real and it's active, and that others can come along. And that those that we witness to can actually, we can say with confidence, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. It's not because I'm something big. It's the reality that God has been working me. And this is what happens when you begin to surrender your life to Him. This is the anticipation. This is where we're going to be productive in our Christian walk. It takes time to be able to look at that. To encourage us in the midst of that, I love these verses. There's a lot of verses I love, but I like these verses. Here it is. John 15:5. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. You guys have heard these verses before. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory. I love that part. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Not in a sense where it's like, ooh, I'm disappointed in you. It's to my Father's glory because it is the glory of Him working in me. It is allowing this to be a vessel where it's like, see, here I am, world. Because that's really what we're offering. We're His hands and feet. For some crazy reason, He has chosen us to represent Him. Christ came down. He was the Word. If you think about it in John, it says he's the Word and he is in the beginning. He was with God and so forth. So he's the Word, which is the message. He came to communicate. This is who God is. This is what God wants. This is how God desires us to be. This is God. And so that's what Christ came to do. He was that messenger to come and proclaim these things. He's also our Savior. But in the midst of that, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry of being able to go out and proclaim and be his witnesses. He's laid it upon us to be representation of him. And so when we are, it's to our Father's glory. This is where he goes, yes. As a matter of fact, when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, I'm going to help you produce more fruit. Because that's right where I want you. You're doing exactly what I have for you. Guys, this is not a foreign thing. I think sometimes we look at it and we go, okay, if we're going to minister, nobody wants to hear the message. Granted, there's some people that don't want to hear the message. There has always been some people that don't want to hear the message. But there's a lot of people out there that are dying for the message. There's a lot of people out there that want hope, want purpose. They're frustrated in life, looking for something to be able to live for. We're surrounded by a generation that is frustrated with the organization, wants to know that they are special and unique, and is longing for purpose, is longing to make a difference. Tell me if that's not the gospel. The gospel answers all those things. And so we need to be able to have that attitude, no longer saying, well, nobody wants to hear it. But the reality is some people are dying to hear it. And so if there's a few people that are frustrated that they got to hear it and they didn't want it, who cares? Who cares? There's some people that want it. There's some people that are longing to hear this message. So being able to walk in the midst of that, knowing that God wants to produce fruit. Last verse I want to share with you guys here is John chapter 4, verse 27. Just then his disciples turned to them. This is the woman at the well. And they were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, "What do you want? Or why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her jar behind, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see the man who told me everything I have ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It is still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest." If Jesus was Josiah, he would not have said, "I don't want food." I don't know if you guys know this. Josiah can put it away. Spending the last couple weeks with him on Amazon, he ate everybody's food. It was awesome. But here it is. In the midst of this, you think about it, food is something that sustains us. Food is the thing that gives us energy. It's, you know, to be honest, part of my grumpiness yesterday was because I hadn't really eaten. And I get to that place where it's like, okay, I'm getting tired, I'm getting worn out, and I get a little irritated. But food has this ability to energize us when it's good and to strengthen us. And you think about what Jesus is saying. It's like, man, when I'm doing the will of God, when I'm doing the will of my Father, when I'm walking where he wants me to walk, that's where I'm taken care of. That's what gives me energy. That's what sustains me. And then he challenges them to change the way they're looking at things. I mean, that's really what he's doing. He's saying, look, the fields are ripe to harvest. It's time. It's a perspective. I guess in many ways, as we look through this whole message, as we begin to talk about how do we reclaim the garden, a lot of it has to start with us personally, as individuals, and then us as a group, about changing our perspectives. Being able to bless Missoula and love Missoula, be able to change where I am at and go, do I hunger for the things of God? Do I long for the things that He would change in me? And to begin to realize, wait a minute, He's called me. He wants to use me for His glory to proclaim His message. And not only that, to be able to change the way that I think people want to hear the message. Not to be ashamed of it, not to hide from it, but to be able to be willing to step into the midst of it and realize, no, there's people that are dying for this. I may have to change some of the ways I say things. I may have to be able to figure out what it is that they're needing. I may have to open up my eyes as I walk by a box upstairs that says food for veterans. But really, that's all it takes, is let the Holy Spirit begin to change our attitudes and the way that we think about things, that He can receive the glory. Amen? Father God, we thank You for the privilege, but Lord, You've also given us a responsibility. This place is not just for us to hide in the basement, but Father, this is a place for us to get to the roots of Missoula, the center of Missoula, and to shake it up. So Father God, thank You for placing us here in this beautiful city, the Garden City. Thank You for placing us here in the middle of it, in the Rose Garden. Father, for us to be able to bring beauty and fragrance to the rest of this town. Lord, we were called the Garden City because we had so many gardens here that we were feeding the logging and mining towns throughout the region. And so, Lord, help us once again to feed the logging and the mining towns throughout this region with spiritual food, of us being able to walk in the midst of Your will, that we would be energized and excited about what it is that You're doing, that You would sustain us. Father God, we want to give it all to You. We ask that You would begin just to till the soil around us, to prepare the hearts to receive the message. We give it all to You in Jesus' name. Amen.